Hello, everyone. I'm here today with Dr. Fergani, a geneticist at the University of Miami Medical Center. Thank you for coming. Would you like to introduce yourself quickly?
Of course, yes. I'm Irmán Fergani. I am a double board certified in internal medicine and medical genetics. And I have worked as a geneticist since 2016 at the University of Miami.
So I know, so this past month in Medical Seeds, we focused on autism specifically, which is a disease that, and a condition that has effect, I know affects so many people that in schools and everywhere that, and it's altering to their lives. And I know that you're often diagnosed very young,
yes,
under five. So when you come into contact or have parents that have kids diagnosed with autism, what advice would you give? How would they change their parenting methods in a way to accommodate for a kid with autism?
Yeah, very good question. Before I start talking about that, I would like to start with a brief introduction to autism that according to the Center for Disease Control or CDC, autism affects an estimate of 1 in 44 children in the United States. Nowadays, we hear that more adults have been diagnosed. Something that I would like to tell parents that although statistics says that 1/3 of these children can have intellectual disability which it means IQ less than 70. Half of them, they actually have average to above average IQ. So first is common. Second, this kid could be smart or above average smart. So know that you're not alone and know that there are many resources available to you to better understand your child's condition, how to manage it. My tip for parents whose children are diagnosed with autism, first create a customized or personalized panel for your child. Important elements for planning the care are diagnosis, therapy, education, and getting support. And in my opinion, all have equal importance. They're all important. For diagnosis, find a developmental specialist. Your pediatrician can help you with that. To help you with the diagnosis and also to identify your child's specific limitation that will help you to come up with a specific plan of care. You may need to see a geneticist who can investigate the genetic underlying causes. They say 40 to 80% of time we can find the underlying genetic cause. I would go with 50%. What is important is early detection and early intervention. Start the interventions and therapies and do not delay that. For example, you may go through the diagnostic investigation with a geneticist, but you should not stop therapies because currently therapies are the best way of seeing improvement in these children. So it is crucial to start therapies as soon as you have the diagnosis. And the goal is to start the treatment between the age, basically before the age 3. But I have to say, although autism can be reliably diagnosed as early as 2 years old, most children are still being diagnosed after 4 years old. So don't get disappointed if your child is diagnosed after 3 years old. Still, early intervention is the key, and early intervention supports healthy development and benefit these children no matter what age they are at. And find the resources that they are available. You know, this is another thing. Don't give up on your child as much as help. You can get, there are so many resources that you can get educated and including through your pediatrician, geneticists, therapists, and social workers who help in getting access to these resources.
So you mentioned treatments. So I know that I've read that there's really no, I guess, cure for autism. It's so what can treatments do? I mean, what can, yeah, treatments and therapies do?
Yes. So these kids with autism, which we used to call it pervasive developmental disorder, they are a group of disorder characterized by delays in development of socialization and communication skills. Usually it start to appear between 2 to 3 years old. It can even present as 1 year, 1 year old, and is a spectrum. They usually have limited or absence of verbal communication, and they have problem in reciprocal social interaction and responsiveness, and they have a pattern of behavior, repetitive behavior. How therapies help? First of all, if parents know what is the problem in the child, they can address the problem accordingly. So for example, there are speech therapies, occupational therapies, and different type of individualized educational therapies that can help these children.
Mm-hmm. And I know we talked about, so advice you would give to parents. Mm-hmm. How would you say that friends and family should be trying to assist someone who has severe autism? How should their support system, what should it be like?
Yes. So it really depends on the severity of the autism. I think for the parents, the first, as I said, is the diagnosis, then planning the therapy. It's very important, and I say this, therapy should be individualized because autism is a spectrum. We have children that they cannot speak at all. We have children that have a normal speak. So based on the limitation, there are different resources. How family can support, giving access to the parents, and it depends how close of a family member we are talking about. Learning about the limitation and strength of these children is extremely important. There are many ways to help these children to communicate better that will translate to less frustration and better behavior. In my opinion, family members that they can provide these resources and support, being supporting and understanding of the frustration and challenges the family are going through.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I know. I definitely think that, yeah, it's definitely important to create a supportive environment. I know that I know people that have very similar, not necessarily autism, but developmental disorders. And it's being there for them and creating a support system that sort of makes them feel like...
Exactly. And there are resources that I can... it depends that I think at the age of the diagnosis, for example, in a child, pediatrician can provide resources that family can connect with other families who are going through this. Those are ways that we can give support to the family, mm-hmm. to share experiences. But again, it's important to know that patients with autism spectrum disorder, they may present very different. They are different from their siblings who don't have the diagnosis, and they are different in between, you know, from person to person is different. So I think initial assessment to learn about these differences is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awareness, I would agree. And I definitely, something that Medical Seeds does is it points out specific charities or organizations and tries to get people involved in them, because advocacy is the most, in my opinion, one of the most important things that people can do. And definitely with autism, especially autism, is it helpful to have a sense of support and solidarity. Speaking of that and creating a sense of an inclusive society, you know, whether it's parents or family and friends, I know schools, they definitely have a large responsibility in trying to ensure one's education goes as it should, progresses as it should, is also important in trying to make one feel accepted in society. So how do you think schools can go about creating this most inclusive society for autism patients?
Very good question, Jake. Learning about differences that children have with their peers and coming up with the individual educational, individualized educational, individualized education plans for them is very important to ease the communication skills and minimize anxiety in social setting. That will lessen the behavioral challenges. Traditionally we were diagnosing only children with autism. Now we are diagnosing patient at the teenagers with this condition. Understanding the limitation and know that they cannot have a one-fit-all plan is the way to be more inclusive. But this cannot be done by the education system or by the physician separately. It has to be a combined plan. And we have been doing better and better. There are laws that protect patients that have a developmental delay. And we have to make sure a child is in an environment that is understanding of their limitation. Many of these children are very sensitive to environmental stimulants like loud noises or light. Adjusting that situation can help them to feel less anxious and to behave better. When I talk about the limitations, I'm talking about these differences that should be very delicately be evaluated by the physician and care providers, and it should be communicated with the education system that these kids are in it. If they need extra hours to catch up with their peers, should be provided to them. I think we have progress significantly, but we still have a lot more to do to improve the situation that we are in right now. For example, one of the challenges are these services are usually offered up to age 3 years old. And I believe that we have to be able to offer them to all ages now that more adult patients have been diagnosed. You mentioned the importance of foundation. One of the work that they do is awareness. The more we know about a condition that these children may have, the better we can provide an environment that it can be more productive for them.
You mentioned there's more like teenagers and older people being diagnosed with autism. Why is that?
Well, we have been learning more about it. And we tend to overlook, and now we pay more attention. I am the geneticist. I'm on the other end of this patient with the diagnosis come to me. But detection of these patients is a job for developmental specialists, neurologists, pediatrician. I think they have done a good job to increase the overall awareness about the condition, and that has being translated into paying attention. If a kid cannot progress well, you know, they provide a further evaluation, and probably that is the main reason that we have more diagnoses at older ages.
So now I think it's sort of interesting that as technology progresses, we can sort of pick out diseases that might not be as apparent. It might not be as obvious. And I think now that there's older people being diagnosed with it, would you say that we now need to be a little more conscious? We need to be, how do you think that should affect our outlook on autism? And how, if I'm 15 or 16 and now I'm being diagnosed with autism, how would that alter my life?
So again, I go back to the fact that, you know, this, yes, we know that autism means delay in the development of socialization and communication skills. Basically, the children have different way of communication, and they develop skills for communication at different rates and in different order from other children. And even among the children with autism, abilities like intelligence and behavior varies. That's why we call it a spectrum. How it affects a child, a specific child, it depends where in the spectrum that child is. Some children do not speak at all. Others speak in limited phrases. Some have relatively normal language. They usually have repetitive movements. They commonly have an unusual response, as we discussed, to sensory stimulation. So if thorough evaluation by a developmental specialist, by a neurologist, by a primary care doctor who is aware of the condition will be crucial to know that how specifically the child is affected. But basically, the definition entails a problem in development of socialization and communication skills. I have to add this, that these children may have strength in particular areas. They may not be able to say hello, but they can count very well, more advanced than other children. So the problem is interaction and communication, but every child may be different. But I hope I answered your question, Jake.
Oh, yes.
Something I wanted to, sorry, I want to say is something that is called joint attention. So joint attention is paying attention to the same things. It's something that is required for social interaction, which is different in these children with other children, unaffected children. Like, for example, lack of eye contact or certain body gesture to share experiences with others. These are the diagnoses that can be made by specialists in the field to specify, to pay attention to that. So it may be a little bit, it may not be as apparent in certain children. So I think the more we know about the condition and the more we, as an educator or as a physician, we pay attention and listen to the frustration that family or child has, the better we can say that to what extent the child is affected.
So those are really all the questions I've had. And I think that it's sort of interesting what we sort of gathered from listening to your responses and what you have to say is that as a society, really, everyone has a part in trying to make it a more inclusive society and trying to really aid people with autism. And ensure that, and really create some more awareness of autism and a sense of welcoming and tolerance. And I would agree that's very important. And I think that that's the beauty of Autism Awareness Month, things like April, yeah. and that it really shouldn't be relegated to a specific month. It's important year round and always to be tolerant and open-minded. One last thing I would like just have is that, so Medical Seeds is very fixated on youth advocacy and youth involvement. So is there anything, like, would you give, there's a little quote or a statement on the importance that youth feel of youth involvement in, or of youth involvement in youth education related to diseases and awareness?
Of course. Like the podcast that you have, I am very happy to be included. And I think these are the ways that we can raise the awareness, not be, you know, we talked about that some child with autism, they may not have a very apparent presentation of a disease. They may have a normal or above average IQ, but they struggle with learning just because of minor challenges that you have. What you are doing, or people like you are doing, or scientists are doing to is to bring the awareness to people that we are different, and we may need different requirements to get the best and the most productive as we can get. And absolutely, and I thank you for having this podcast to raise the awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you for coming. I really appreciate your willingness to come talk. And I think I learned a lot, and everyone who listens to this will learn a lot. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Jay. Thank you so much.